The Sundance Film Festival, the premier showcase for new independent films, is underway in Park City, Utah. Robert Redford is the founder of the Sundance Institute, which has been running the festival since 1984. Redford has used his status as a celebrity to help environmental causes and to help independent filmmakers through the festival. As the festival has become more popular and more powerful, it has also become more of a marketplace and generated a lot of hoopla. Redford says he tries to keep it focused on its mission.
You always have something there that has got a loud voice attached to it, and that's fine because it is a festival that everyone is invited to, but you want to make sure that it doesn't get so extreme. If they bring their own marketing divisions with them and try to create a lot of buzz and heat around it, sometimes the press will follow that and then imagine the festival has lost its course or something, which is not true. We programmed the festival the way we always have from day one, 1986, which is diversity, diversity, diversity. We're not there for commerciality. We don't want that weight. We don't want that pressure. That's an end game I don't like. And also, diversity keeps something alive that might be coming under threat politically. So that's our mission. I remember in the first years being told, you're never going to fly with this because it's not commercial. And I said, well, exactly. We'll show things that people may never get a chance to see. At least they'll be able to see it here.
Are you pleased to see how documentaries have caught on? I mean, look at Fahrenheit 9/11 and Super Size Me. Those were both really popular films and did very well at the box office.
They were almost phenomenal in the sense of how well they did. I mean, normally documentaries don't break through to that degree, but I mean, they did so for a reason. Obviously, they were very bold, very powerful, and unshakably from a very strong point of view. But, for example, we've been doing this for years. I mean, I think both Super Size Me, we had that at the festival last year, Fahrenheit 9/11, that went way off the grid. It was a success phenomenon, kind of like The Passion in a sense. And so it went way beyond. But normally there's a kind of frame that they work in, like this year we've got some really exciting documentaries that go into that area of the political. There's Shake Hands with the Devil, that's really a journey, the journey of General Romeo Dallaire as the commander to try to prevent the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, and then come back 10 years later from his book that he wrote about the horrors of that and what he had to experience trying to make the thing work is really a very powerful story. So that documentary is here with the general to speak about it. We got a documentary about Nicaraguan civil strife in which the U.S. played a major role. That's called El Immortal. We got being about a pianist in Baghdad who is a lounge pianist, and what has his life been having to live with the changes that are going on there from the small human standpoint. Then we have The Wall, which is really a terrifying portrait of a look at that wall that's separating Israel and the Palestinian territories. And then we have also another documentary about exploring the role of the arts and culture during the Cultural Revolution in present-day China. And then domestically, we have Why We Fight, which is Jarecki, who did the trials of Henry Kissinger, and we have a piece on Enron. So there's a lot of diversity here that we're very proud of.
You are politically liberal, and that's been known for years. But does being politically liberal in Hollywood have a different meaning now than it did 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, you know, I'm really against labels, Terry. I always have been. I've been resistant to labels, and it's, you know, I get labeled pretty easily in my life and career, and it's been strange. My feeling is I voted for a lot of Republicans in my time. I vote for the person and the issue and making sure that this world, which is in a very dangerous place right now, maintains a certain integrity around some of the things that's kept us alive and strong for so long. And so sometimes that'll move me over this way or that way. If I think there's a Republican out there that is a good person, then I will support them. I'm not just strictly labeled extreme left or extreme right. I think that there's some value in bipartisanship, particularly right now. I think that's probably the only answer to our future is bipartisanship. We're never going to get anywhere with screaming and yelling and trashing each other right or left. That'll go nowhere. And if policies follow that, we're in real trouble.
You were in a movie in 1972 called The Candidate. And I know that you're in the process of doing an updated version of that 30 years later, in which the young candidate is now running for and I think elected as president. Do I have that right?
Yes.
I know you don't like to talk about movies before they're released, so I won't press you to tell us more about the movie, but what was the vision of politics in 1972 when you made the movie, and what do you think needs to be updated about that?
Well, just the mere fact that whatever the movie was trying to say at that time, which was basically, this is how we get people elected in this country, and the subtext was by cosmetics. I mean, we were making a point in 1971, that's actually when I made the film, that was a little fresh at that time. You know, we were coming off the 60s revolution. There was a lot of hot young stuff going on. People were entering government, and people that hadn't burned out were going into the system. It was pretty very, very exciting time, but there was still a vestige of that distrust of the establishment and so forth. So we kind of keyed off of that and said, well, why don't we look at how people get elected in this country, because I suspect it's really more about cosmetics. And so we went in that direction using me as a sacrificial character to that, and made the point that substance wasn't nearly as much the issue as look and touch and whether your image was right, so that everything around it, all the manipulation, the building of blocks and so forth, was tied to selling you as a product rather than a point of view. Well, now, you know, time, we've seen what's happened. So nothing really, I don't think if anybody was hoping for that film to change anybody, it didn't, nor did All the President's Men. I mean, we're back to the same stuff. And so certainly there's enough that's gone on beyond that that fortifies the point we were making a long time ago, but it's just a different world out there now. The world is so drastically different, it might be interesting to look at that now.
So will you be playing the senator turned president?
No, I'll be playing a Senate page. No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
yes.
I'll be playing. Yeah, I'll be playing.
Funny.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be safer playing a page.
How are you deciding now what roles you do want to play?
Well, it has to do with what's feasible, what's realistic. You know, as you age, you know, you want to, you don't want to stretch yourself trying to be 20, and so you don't want to go that way. So you just kind of roll with how you're developing as a human being with roles that would be appropriate. It's kind of tough sometimes because you are in a business that is very focused on youth and looks and perfection and so forth. But that's the way it is. There's nothing you can do about that, but you can engineer your own way through it.
Yeah, well, I think that's an interesting thing because there's you know, actor directors like you and Clint Eastwood, and you know, and other people in that category who, as you get older, you're finding roles that are good for where you are in your life. And so since you have the ability to choose the scripts, direct the movie, get them produced, you're not dependent on a studio that's only going to want, you know, movies that center around a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old. And I think it's interesting. I think it's kind of that, you know, actor, director, producers like yourself are in a way changing the subject matter of movies?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I that's a nice,
nice
idea.
Try, huh?
Well, that's a nice thought, but I think Clint's doing great, but I think it's harder now to do those films. I really do. I think the business has changed drastically and is in a sea motion of change that's really drastic right now. And I think the new technology has driven a lot of it. There's a lot of fear out there. There's a tendency. You can see from the programming perspectives that blockbusters aren't going away. No matter what they do financially, for some reason there's a held opinion that they're good business. The smaller, more controversial films that are more humanistically driven, that are really more in the independent film area, are going to, I believe, be harder and harder to come by, no matter who you are. And that's just the nature of the beast, which to me points out more than ever the urgency to keep strengthening the role of independent film so it won't be quite so dependent on the sensibility of those people that see a more conventional way to go.
Robert Redford. Our critic John Powers is at the Sundance Film Festival and will talk with us about the movies he's seen on Monday after the festival's conclusion. Coming up, Lloyd Schwartz reviews two recordings of Handel arias featuring Lorraine Hunt Lieberson and Renee Fleming. This is Fresh Air.